Part 7. The Elders. Courage is a kind of salvation. Plato. V-5. Stevenson Farm, Eastview, Colorado. The human faces around Dan reflected fear and unease at the decidedly alien ability he had just exhibited. The messengers, behind him, meanwhile appeared entirely unmoved. Their body language was approving, if anything, with the one that had looked ready to act against Clark's gun-toting colleague now standing in a perfectly relaxed manner next to its partner. Only these two messengers had emerged from the craft, despite its size, having suggested a far larger crew was not only possible but likely, but that didn't necessarily mean they had come alone. The only faces Dan cared about in a personal sense were those of Clark and Tara, the latter of whom had now stepped back out of the car for a first-hand look at the incredible sight of Dan standing with only the messengers for company inside a force field of his own telekinetic creation. Even in the heat of the moment, Dan was aware of how this would be reported and how incredible it would look from the outside. He knew the image would instantly become even more iconic than last year's remarkable snapshot of him standing at the drive-in, like Moses in the parted sea, the only person able to remain inside the messenger's force field. The reason was simple. This time, he had generated the force field. This time, he had the power. It didn't take more than a split second of reflection for Dan to know that once the dust settled and the understandably startled observers realized they had nothing to fear from his power, it would doubtlessly bring him an even higher level of messianic worship. Crucially, though, with the traitorous and spiteful Jack Neal in cahoots with a hostile alien faction, Dan knew that even having a future to worry about could depend on his own ability to work with the messengers to solve whatever was really going on with their elders. Because that, after all, was why the squadron were here in the first place, and why Jack Neal was by their side in Havana, rather than being securely held in the McCarthy's basement. Dan didn't like that he'd kept this new ability from Tara and Clark, even though he and Emma hadn't kept it quiet for any dubiously motivated reasons, but right now he knew that their expressions weren't the ones that mattered. There was nothing to forgive him for, but they would accept his reasoning in time, even if they did currently feel slighted for having been kept in the dark when secrets were supposed to be a thing of the past. Talking to the messengers mattered most of all, but there was certainly a pressing need to explain what had just happened so that speculative media narratives couldn't take hold. Now, more than ever, the last thing the world needed was suspicion about Dan or the messengers. Their arrival was a beacon of hope to Dan in the face of a powder keg situation, but with minute-to-minute public perception more important than ever given the potentially catastrophic results of any military action a government might feel pressured to take, he knew it was absolutely crucial that hope was the only feeling radiating outward from Colorado. "The messengers granted me some telepathic abilities so they could reach me whenever they might have to," he said, speaking very suddenly and immediately drawing everyone's attention from the general sight of the remarkable force field and focusing it all upon himself. "The telekinesis came with it. I didn't ask for any of these powers, and I didn't even agree to take this one. But here I am. I haven't asked for any of this since the very beginning. I didn't ask to find that damn folder on Winchester Street, and I didn't ask to be the messenger's conduit on Earth. But here I am." From the side of the car, Emma subtly signaled to Dan that she wanted to tell him something. He initiated a one-way mental connection with equal subtlety and immediately heard her suggestion. It made a lot of sense in his mind, and he always trusted Emma's instincts in such matters, so he acted upon it without delay. Turning to the messengers, Dan initiated a two-way connection with them, unsure if it was even necessary, and silently told them what he wanted them to do. In light of events in Havana, they agreed very quickly. To Dan, their unhesitant cooperation to what were fairly major requests was a very clear sign that they understood the stakes, perhaps even better than he did. "Terry," Dan called to the police officer whose tetchiness had led to the escalation. "How about you come inside with me and take a look around? These guys are on our side, and one of them is willing to undergo some non-invasive tests, just like we saw happening in Havana. Scans, measurements, things like that. We're in this together, and they want to show that."
"Are those the same aliens?" a voice from the crowd called.
"What's with the different outfits?" another yelled.
Dan forced a smile, trying to look more relaxed than he was.
I'll have some answers in a few minutes, he said, tracing a circle in the air to remove his own force field in an entirely instinctive manner. Once that was done, he beckoned Terry forward with a friendly hand gesture.
Terry stood still, shaking his head.
I'm not going in there.
Dan encouraged one of the messengers to extend its hand and walk slowly towards Terry. It did so, all but screaming, "We come in peace," as the world watched on. When Terry unsurely glanced at Dan, Dan widened his eyes in a manner that told Terry to do this rather than merely suggested it. The world is watching, he tried to stress without speaking. Man up. Whether it was the weight of the crowd or something else, Terry eventually shook the messenger's hand. His expression softened immediately at the contact, and he began walking towards the cornfield, with no further reluctance. The messenger who had walked to greet him remained where it was, striking the pose of a lost dog as it looked around uneasily at countless unfamiliar faces.
Clark, Dan called, look after that one while we're in there. Make sure they treat him well when they're doing measurements and stuff, okay?
Damn right, Clark said.
He rushed to the frightened-looking alien's side and offered a handshake of his own. The messenger reciprocated.
So, hey, dude, Clark uttered. Can you hear me?
Confirmation came in the form of a nod.
Can you talk to me?
No answer.
Will you talk to me?
A shake of the head. Clark couldn't help but grin. The situation was so surreal he could hardly believe any of it was happening, but at least the alien was honest. At the edge of the cornfield, Dan turned towards the crowd in front of Phil's farmhouse one more time.
I'll be back soon, he called. Emma?
I love you.
I love you too,
she shouted back.
And Tara, Dan went on, don't worry about anything. They're here to help us.
Dan McCarthy had been wrong before, but never as wrong as this.